thought we might just take a little time and let you ask a question or two like we do from time to time. Sometimes questions build up in your heart. I'm on this end and I say things and you can't answer me back. And of course, sometimes some of you'd like to answer me back, and this gives you a chance to answer me back. So, if you would like to ask a question, to stand up and tell me off, now's your chance. Before we read any scripture, if you've got a question, just ask it, or if something on your heart you'd like to say, give you a chance to say it. When I have open house like this, gives you a chance to kind of declare your feelings or to ask questions that perhaps might be beneficial to me or to others. If you'd like to write it down on a piece of paper, as you do sometimes, and send it up here to us, we'll be delighted to take it up here. And he did. All right, that's what we got. Here's the two prophets. Now, on the other, Brother Gary, before we get into that, let's go back. Brother Taylor, he helps us out with the reading of these things. And if Brother Taylor would, let's turn over to Malachi. If you've got your Bibles, you know, I wish you'd get your Bible. I know that, you know, sometimes you don't bring your Bible. But I wish you'd get your Bible and bring your Bible to church, because a lot of times it's good for you to have a Bible. And when we're talking about these things or going through these things, it can really help you. In Malachi, now, first, let's just talk on this just a little bit now, comment on this. There's a lot of questions asked about this. A lot of questions. So what we're going to do is read the whole book of Malachi, because it ain't but just two or three chapters. That way you'll be well acquainted with the book of Malachi. And when you hear somebody quote back to Malachi, you won't think, well, there's some part of Malachi I didn't read, or something that they know in Malachi that I don't know. You'll know that you've heard all of the book of Malachi read. So what you get tonight, you can catalog it and say, I know that that's right. Won't leave no room for doubt. Now, first of all, you know, and I know, that no matter what Brother Pike says or any minister says, past, present, or future, it don't make no difference what it is, no matter what we say. If it don't have a word foundation, it is not of God. And it cannot stand. God will not accept it in the day of judgment. It doesn't matter who the person is, how much we believe in him. Brother Pike, you might believe, might be some of you out there that would give your life for me. But it wouldn't make no difference how much you believed in me. If it wasn't the word of God, God wouldn't accept you, nor me, nor what was said in the day of the judgment. No man's person. The Bible said God accepteth no man's person. It has to be Christ, which means God without respect to person will only accept the anointing that's in a man's life, or whatever that tutoring was. That measure or means of anointing in his life is the only thing he'll have respect to. Now, he does not have respect to any living human being that has ever lived on the face of the earth. None of them. The Bible said all of them have gone astray. Every man is turned to his own way. Every man. They're all together unprofitable. No man, woman, boy, or girl, it doesn't matter what religion, how long you've been that way, how long you fasted, who you are, what you are. It don't matter if you think you're a prophet or whatever. It don't matter. God has no respect for you at all. He has respect for one, the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is heir to the glory of God. And God will only accept you and me through the Spirit of His Son and the blood of His Son, and no more. No more, no other. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you've got an education or whether you haven't got an education, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, it don't make any difference. What race, what creed, what color, every person's alike to the Lord Jesus. So then, we must remember that we are saved altogether by the grace of God. Altogether by the grace of God. Now, the way I preach holiness and the way I stress rules and regulations and the way I hold you to the fine line, you'd think, well, there's one thing about it. There ain't but one way to get to heaven, and that's rules and regulations of the Bible. But brother and sister, I hold you to that because the only way to get to heaven is through grace. Not one rule or regulation can help you get to heaven. The law can't take you to heaven. It's strictly by the grace of the Son of God, and that is faith in His blood. But there is no grace given from the Son of God to anybody unless they keep all the rules and all the regulations of God to the very best of their ability. And then when they fail, when they've done all they can and they fail, in that no flesh can be justified by the law or rules and regulations, they're going to fall to somewhere. Then God saves and justifies them by grace because they tried to please Him and to do His will. Therefore, His love is commended toward them, and through the grace of God, He saves them. Them that doesn't try, He don't even mess with them. All right. You say, well, doesn't He give them grace? He does give them grace. He gives them dispensational grace, not grace unto salvation. As the Bible said, grace unto salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying worldly lust and ungodliness, we should live soberly, righteously in this present world. That's grace unto salvation, teaching us to keep the rules and regulations. But grace, dispensational grace, He does give us a dispensational grace, which watches over us or keeps us during the time that we're living, that is, as a Gentile in this world until the blood comes off the mercy seat. That's just for this life. All right, I said that so that you'll know that if I don't found it on the Word, it won't be right, because He won't accept no man's person. I also said that nobody else troubled you, no matter who, where, when, what, scholar, reputation, whatever, money, that nobody else troubled you, that your faith be solely upon Him, that you won't accept anybody else's person because God won't listen at it. It won't do you any good. Now, in the book of Malachi, I'm going to get Brother Taylor to come and read this very slowly. And I want you to listen as he reads this very slowly. I don't mean just drag it out. We'll read right on through, so we'll have a little time to discuss it. But very slowly and clear to where you can catalog it. Now, if you're interested in it, I want you to listen. If you're not, it's okay. You can go. If there's somebody here that don't have any interest in this, you can go home. We won't feel bad at you. I'll love you just as much. If it's going to be boring to you, that's all right. I understand. But them that are interested, that want to listen, or take heed to what we're saying, then we want you to listen as Brother Taylor reads, and we're going to comment on it and see just what he is saying, Brother Taylor.
The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob. And I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee, in that ye say the table of the Lord is contemptible? And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now, I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it! And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness against thee, and the wife of thy youth against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet hath he the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hath hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to the temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold into silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come near to you in judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are accursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son and serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And ye shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.
Now then, there's quite a number of things here. If I never spoke one word, you that listen very carefully to what Brother Taylor read, there's enough explanation in this for salvation and the right way of God to really set you straight in what the Lord believes in, what He stands for, what kind of God He is. One of the things that we've emphasized in the past is men not leaving their wives for the simple reason that God hates putting away. You can marry another woman, but God hates that. He hates it. If you want to be hated of the Lord, you can get in trouble right quick by doing that. It don't take Him long to hate you. And there's quite a number of things here. If we had time to comment on them, that would really help you. He tells you here that he won't receive a sacrifice. It's blind. You know, if you don't live right, you don't do right, and you're half-hearted, you won't work and you won't help the brotherhood around here and just loaf around, then you come and offer yourself to God as a Christian. The Bible teaches that we are lambs before God, as sheep before the shearers. We're offered as a lamb daily to God. We're killed all the day long as sheep, accounted for the slaughter. And see, if we are not clean, holy, altogether given to God, then we are halt, blind, lame, and we are giving to God the wrong sacrifice, and He won't receive it. We have to keep ourselves perfectly straight in the sight of God to be received. You hear people say, well, God loves everybody. It don't make any difference. God is good. He loves everybody. That's not true. The Bible said that God is angry with the wicked every day. Why is it He says here, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated, if He loves everybody? See, there's some people that God hates. He don't love everybody. God hates some people. He said, I'll pursue the wicked till they've perished from off of the face of the earth. Even their offering is abomination in the sight of God. He said He wouldn't even receive their offerings. A lot of times, people that don't give to God, they'll say, well, I just don't feel to give to God, or I haven't got it. That's not what it is. It isn't that you haven't got it to give to God, or it isn't that you don't feel to give it to God. What it is, it's God. He hates your offering, and He won't prepare your heart to give it because He won't receive your offering. He lets you have it. He lets you eat it up, drink it up, live it up, and spend it out yonder in the flesh because He won't have your offering. It's polluted to Him because of your attitude and the way you live. But there's numbers of things here that you see that is not like you think that they would be according to the way you hear preachers talk to you. All right, now our subject was concerning Elijah. In the third chapter, it says, behold, I send my messenger. Now, if you've got your Bibles, let's just comment a little bit here and kind of take this to and fro and see what we can get out of it. Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, it goes on to say, but who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purify of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. Now, God is not speaking of Elijah here. I think most of us understand that in this third chapter that God is definitely not speaking of Elijah. Elijah is definitely not the messenger of the covenant. He is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he says here he will set as a refiner's fire, he is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he says the messenger of the covenant shall certainly come to his temple, he's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he says, I send my messenger, he'll prepare my way. Now then is when we get to talking about John. Behold, he said, the day in the fourth chapter, the day cometh and shall burn as an oven. All the proud and they to do wickedly, he said they'll be burned up. He said, and then he goes on, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now then, if you notice, when Jesus came, the messenger of the covenant, when he came, they did not recognize that he was the messenger of the covenant. Isn't that right? They didn't recognize that. They did not know that he was the messenger of the covenant. They didn't recognize it. And as the days continued on, as time went on, all of a sudden it began to dawn on them that this Christ Jesus that was in their midst actually was the messenger of the covenant. And then when this dawned on them, they got confused. And they said, seeing that you're the messenger of the covenant, we don't understand. Said, because how then saith the scriptures that Elias must first come and restore all things? If you are the Messiah, and if you have come into the world, then what is this that the scripture says? They were referring back to Malachi. See, Malachi is the last of the prophets. That's the last part of the prophets right there. And then the silent ages comes in on over to the New Testament. They said, what is this now? We don't understand this. If you really are, and we believe that you are, now then, what is this? We're confused over this thing. How is it that here you are, this great messenger of the covenant, that the Bible said would come, and yet the Bible says that, behold, Elias must first come. How is it that he must first come? Whereas in Malachi 3, behold, I send my messenger to prepare my way. They referred back to it. Why is it that you've come on the scene when you promised in your word that before you come, you would send your messenger and he would prepare your way? And that he would turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers back to the children. Now you promised to do this. How is it that all of a sudden you're here? And how is it that you've come all of a sudden when you promised us that you would send a messenger and that he would do this very thing that we're telling you? And they were tore up about it. They were really tore up. Then Jesus said to them, I say unto you that Elias has already come. And they've done unto him whatsoever they would. Then that could have really added to the confusion even more. But all of a sudden the Bible said that they perceive that he spake of John the Baptist. That really confused some of the Bible scholars. I mean, they were tore all to pieces then. They couldn't fit it together at all. Here was his disciples, and they accepted what he said, and they couldn't fit it together. They were so confounded. You said that I'm going to send Elijah. He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, lest you're going to smite the earth with a curse. And now here you are, and we didn't see no messenger. And now all of a sudden you tell us that John the Baptist was Elijah. And Elijah done all kinds of great miracles, called fire down from heaven. And John the Baptist never done any miracles. And they were tore all to pieces over it. Then he say, what are you talking about? All right, let's look at it for just a minute. See, Jesus in Malachi, his speech had a twofold meaning. That's why that Jesus confounded the Jews like he did. That was the reason that he could speak the way he did, say that Elias has already come, confound them, and yet Elias had never come, according to what Malachi was saying. I say, wait a minute, Brother Pike, that's double talk. No, it's not double talk. Elias had already come. Elijah had already come. How is it that Elijah had already come? Somebody said, well, now, wait a minute. I perceive that he spoke of John the Baptist. Was then John the Baptist Elijah? Somebody says, now, there's the answer to it. John the Baptist was Elijah. All right. Now, if John the Baptist was Elijah, then there's no more Elijah. It's John the Baptist. Or either there's no more John the Baptist as Elijah. You can't have John the Baptist and Elijah too. Somebody say, but I say that John the Baptist is Elijah. That's what Jesus meant. If that's what he meant, what are we going to do in the day of judgment when John the Baptist is going to be there and Elijah is going to be there too? Now, which one of them is going to be Elijah? Somebody say, I love the Lord. Don't we want to know the truth about it? All right. So then he... Like Paul said, if we're justified by works and not by grace, then grace is no more grace. Let's get the thing straightened out. What is the Lord talking about? How in the world can he stand there and tell them people that Elias has already come when he knows good and well it's that is John the Baptist? How could he do that and still be God and be the Spirit of truth? You know the Spirit of truth don't make mistakes and he can't lie. You know that he didn't cut no corners. He didn't pull no gimmicks. How could that possibly be? And yet that wasn't Elijah. That was John the Baptist. How do you agree that that was John the Baptist? You say, Brother Pike, how do you know that that was John the Baptist? Because the Bible said it was John the Baptist. You say, but Jesus said it was Elijah. All right, let's look at it for just a minute. Now, if I don't believe what the Bible says, then I might as well throw the Bible in the ocean. Isn't that right? What does the Bible say? It says he was John the Baptist. Am I to believe what the Bible said about it and accept him as John the Baptist, or am I not to accept him as John the Baptist? The Bible said he was John the Baptist. What in the world was he talking about? See, Jesus clarified the thing, but they didn't understand it. That's where the same mix-up comes in today. It's not God's word that's confusing. It's not Christ that's confusing us. But we confuse ourselves by misunderstanding the word and not accepting what God said about it. You say, well, I'm accepting what God said about it. That was Elijah. No. Jesus didn't say that John was Elijah. Now you show it to me in the Bible. What he said was, Elias has already come if you can receive it. Now wasn't that what he said? And they perceived that he spake of John. Now how could he say that Elias has already come if you can receive it? Because the Bible says that when the Spirit of God spoke to John's father, John's mother, and gave the prophetical utterance of John, behold, he shall go forth in the spirit of Elias. That was the difference. How is it that Elias has already come? It was the spirit of Elias. The spirit of Elijah had already come. That's what Jesus was telling him. The man was John the Baptist, but the spirit of Elijah was upon him. All right, now that makes us to see something right there, that the Lord did not lie. So then you say, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. God said in the book of Malachi, behold, I send my messenger who shall prepare my way. All right, let's look at it. Somebody said, well, there's Elijah. Malachi 3. No. There is John the Baptist, Malachi 3. Why? Because he was the messenger that prepared his way. And the messenger of the covenant, which was Christ himself, suddenly came into his temple at Pentecost, whose temple ye are, for ye are the temples of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? God came into his temple. Suddenly came into his temple. The Bible said, and ye are the temples of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. And the Holy Ghost walks in you, and he talks in you. And ye are that Spirit of Christ on the inside. That is, Christ within you is the hope of glory. So then the messenger of the covenant, which is Christ, suddenly came into his temple. The Bible said the Lord shall suddenly appear within his temple. And all of the world shall come and kneel at your feet and know that I have loved you. All right, so we see him setting as a refiner, as a purifier of the sons of Levi, purging them as silver. We see the messenger, chapter 3, coming, John the Baptist. But it's way over in chapter 4. That's where the scholars got mixed up. It was chapter 4 that he said Elijah would come. See, the messenger, behold, I send my messenger. He did come. Isn't that right? The messenger did come, and the spirit of Elijah came. But when he said, before the great and notable day of the Lord come, which is the judgment of God, which is the tribulation period, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. He didn't say, behold, I send the spirit of Elijah. I send you Elijah the prophet. Somebody say, Brother Pike, I know there's going to be some great person's going to come. There's going to be a great person. He's going to have the spirit of Elijah. And a great person going to have the spirit of Moses. There ain't going to be no such. God didn't say, I'll send you a great person with the spirit of Elijah. He didn't say, I'll send you a great person with the spirit of Moses. He said, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. My brother, he meant exactly what he said. When he said, I'll send you Elijah, he didn't mean I'd send you John the Baptist. He didn't mean that he'd send somebody else to act like Elijah. He meant that I will send you Elijah. That same Elijah that walked back there in the days of old, brothers and sisters, God is going to send that same Elijah. That same Elijah is going to walk this earth right here. That Elijah. Oh, somebody said he couldn't do that. Yes, he could do that. Somebody said, oh, no, he's dead. The Bible doesn't say he's dead. The Bible said a chariot came down, a whirlwind from heaven, and a chariot of fire came down. He stepped on board and went away with God. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus appeared in glory, there stood Elijah. So then Elijah's in glory. Somebody said, but he can't come back. But he can come back. How can he come back, Brother Pike, when others can't come back? Because he went away in his body. If he went away in his body, he can come back. You can't prove that by the Bible. Yes, I can prove it by the Bible. How can you prove it by the Bible? The Bible said the body without the spirit is dead. If your spirit leaves your body, they put your body in the ground, and you can't come back. Somebody say, I love Jesus. But Jesus stepped on the Mount of Transfiguration, went into glory with his body, and then came back because he had his body. Isn't that right? Elijah went up there with his body, and you better believe he can come back just like Jesus did. He can also die. Jesus came back and died, folks. Elijah is coming back into this world, and Elijah's going to die. And I've said this, and you're familiar with it. Elijah must come back and die. He must come back and die. Why? Because he was under the law and it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment, he must die. He's never died. He must come back and die. And I say this again, Enoch will not come back and die. He will not come back and die. The Bible said he was translated that he should not see death. If he comes back and dies, the scriptures will be broken. We might as well forget about him. He will not come back and die. He was translated that he should not see death because he was typical of the church. You and I can be translated and not see death, which means go into glory with our bodies like it is. This is the message that we're preaching to you today. A lot of people don't believe it, but it's true anyhow. There's the people in the world today that's going to go into glory with their bodies. Oh, somebody say, Brother Pike, you can't. You're getting beside yourself. No, I'm not beside myself. If I am, it's for Christ's sake. There are people walking this earth that's going to go into glory with their bodies. All right. So then, Enoch did not die. He must not die. Why is it? Because he was not under the law. He didn't have to die because he was not under the law. All the rest of them that didn't go away, they died. They died. But Enoch went away. He was not under the law. He does not have to come back and die. But Elijah will come back and die. The Bible says that he will come back and die. The body of the two prophets will lay in the street. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Somebody would say, well, what about Moses, Brother Pike? Moses died. The Bible records that Moses was buried. Isn't that right? But tell me, where is Moses' grave? Until this day, they've never located it. Somebody said, well, it stands to reason they just couldn't find it. Well, why did they find Joseph's, and why did they find Abraham's, and why did they find Jesus's, and why did they find all of them? They've never been able to find it. You know, I said this a lot of times, folks. A bird can take something and bury it, and you can't find it. You look all over the earth, and you can't find it. You know why? Because he didn't bury it down here. He might have buried it in his nest up there in the tree. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. Say, well, Brother Pike, you don't know where Moses is no more than anybody else. Yes, I do. And you do too. He's in glory. How do you know that? Because the Bible said he appeared in glory with Jesus and Elijah. And I say this too. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, but that wasn't his body. That don't stand to reason now, does it? If Jesus was there in his body, Elijah was there in his body, why would Moses be there as a spirit? And then besides that, the Bible doesn't record that the angel wrestled over Moses' spirit. It said they disputed over the body of Moses. Now, where was that in the Bible? That wasn't in the Bible. Until somebody got a revelation. Somebody saw a vision. Is that right? Read over there. This man got a vision, got a revelation, and he saw this in the spirit. He saw them disputing over that body. And he recorded it because he saw it. Why, he was way after Moses' times. He was way over here, and Moses was way back there. But he looked back through the years, and there he saw him wrestling over Moses' body. And he saw him as Satan come for that body, death came for that body. And he saw that great angel of God say, the Lord rebuke thee, Satan. Now then, what do you think that he was doing? I tell you what I think he was doing. Somebody said, well, he died. No, I don't believe that. What do you believe? I believe the angel rebuked death. I believe Moses had already been up there so long on that mountain in the glory of God. He had done gone into glory. He hadn't eaten for 80 days. He hadn't drank any water apparently for 80 days. Whatever it was, he was up there. He was already in glory up there with God. And when he came back down here and death reached over for him, something said, no, leave him alone. His time ain't yet. And he said, what do you mean by that? He'll come back with Elijah and then he'll die. They disputed over that body. See, Satan come to grab that body. God said, no, that body ain't through with its work yet. You can't have it. Did you know that if he had got that body, God could not have used that body over there? Honey, somebody said, Brother Pike, God could have brought it back out of the ground and used it. He couldn't have done it. Why is that? Because the first resurrection doesn't take place till Revelation 19. You say, but the saints of God, they come up out of the earth over there because they're translated before the tribulation. They go away. They don't come back. They're not used here on the earth. They don't come back to Revelation 19 and says. See, this Moses had to do some work before Revelation 19. Somebody say, I love Jesus. See, he had to do some work during that tribulation period. God said, no, you can't do that. All right, now, in seeing this, we go over to the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. Isn't that right? What do we find over there in the 11th chapter? Brother Taylor, you got your Bible? In the 11th chapter, what do we find? It says that these two prophets, the two olive trees, the two prophets of God, the two great olive trees that stand before all the God of the earth, the Bible says that they tormented the people with the message that they preached. A lot of people say, well, I think you should preach the love of God, you know. And if you preach anything that upsets their ego or makes them feel bad or makes them feel sad, they'll say, why don't you get on with the service and have a big get together, have a dance. Everybody feels good. Let's all go to church. The devils and the demons and everybody else. The president, the banker, the liquor drinker and everybody else. Let's all go to church. Boy, they have a time out yonder. Whereas the Bible said the wicked can't sit in the congregation of the righteous. That's where the problem is today. See, but the Bible said that these two prophets, their message tormented them that dwell on the earth, my brother, sister. Is that right? Now, it says that finally they kill these two prophets. And they had to lay dead in the street for a number of days. And the people were so glad that they were dead because their message tormented them. You know, that's the way it is with a lot of people at Bethlehem. They'd be so glad if they'd have my funeral. They might come up and look down and say, old Brother Pike was a fine fella. But they'd be so happy that I was dead and in a casket until they'd feel like sending gifts to one another. Because some of the things I say torments them. Because they don't want to live right. But the Bible says that they actually sent gifts one to another, having a great, great time, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelled on the earth. Who was the two prophets? Moses and Elijah. Somebody said, well, that's two great men in the spirit of Moses and Elijah. That was not two great men in the spirit of Moses and Elijah. That is not true. That is not true when you say that it was two men in the spirit of Moses and Elijah, because it was not. It was Moses and Elijah. The Bible says that this is the two olive trees that stands before the God of all the earth. You understand what I'm saying? There's never been but two that ever stood with Christ. That was Moses and Elijah. They represent the law and they the prophets and the law, or grace and the law. One the prophets, one the law. The other a grace, which is Jesus Christ in the middle. So they represent the great big pillars that Samson pulled down. Jesus represented Samson with his seven locks, the church ages, that pulled the entirety of this whole operation across the world, pulled it down. The seven church ages wrecked, it pulled down with the messages that came from those seven spirits of God that stood before the throne. It has literally destroyed Antichrist system and all of the Gentiles' doings. How did Jesus do it? On the Mount of Transfiguration, there stood the Samson with his seven locks. There stood Moses. There stood the law. There stood the prophets. He pulled it down. They said, build three tabernacles. He said, two of them's already pulled down. There's just one left. That's grace. All ends are swallowed up into the middle. The same amount of people came into the church. At Pentecost, when Jesus pulled those pillars down at Calvary, the same amount of people came in that Samson destroyed at his death. Check it out and see. So then, those two great people, Moses and Elijah, the two olive trees, the Bible said that's who these were, not two other men, two olive trees. And there they were, in the earth, this earth, right here. You know what? It's getting pretty close to time for them to come around. Did you know that? Some of you don't know it, but it's getting kind of close, about time for them to come around. Somebody said, well, where are they coming from? They couldn't come but from one place, and that's where they live. Where is that at? In glory. So they couldn't do that. Well, where did them angels come from over at visit with Abraham? They went down there to Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible said, be careful how you entertain strangers. Some have entertained angels unaware. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then we see, actually, there was four times that the Bible records concerning the spirit of Elijah. Isn't that right? Four times. It records it in Elijah, who was caught away. It records it in Elisha, who took sick and died. It records it in John the Baptist, who came in the spirit of Elias. And then it records it in the candlestick, or behold, Elijah the prophet, before the notable day of the Lord come that shall burn as an oven, that is his wrath, in the tribulation period when the two prophets come on the scene. If you'll notice in Malachi, when it said, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. If you'll notice, Brother Taylor read it tonight, it said, remember the law in my servant Moses. See, it numbers Moses with Elijah. And then said, I send you Elijah, that he'll turn the hearts of the children back to the Father, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. That is, I've got to have those prophets coming on the scene to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. I've got to have that, because if I don't, I won't be able to set up the millennium government. I'll have to smite the entire earth with a curse. And I want to set up the millennium and bring in the garden again. I don't want to curse the earth. I must have a people that will receive me. I must have a people that will crown me. Now, we say, what about the age that we're living in, Brother Pike? You know, and I know that the spirit of Elijah is in the world today. Now, we know that. Now, when you say the spirit of Elijah is in the world today, what do you mean? We know that Jesus Christ is the spirit of Elijah. How do you know that there's only one God that could do the miracles that happened in Elijah? No man could do those things. Even Stephen said no man could do those things unless God was with him over there. And the others, isn't that right? No man could do those great miracles that the prophets done and the apostles did. It was Christ doing those miracles. So then what was the spirit of Elijah? It was the spirit of Christ on the inside. That's what it was. Well, Brother Pike, don't you believe that Elijah had a spirit of his own? I believe that he did. But I'm talking about God's spirit in Elijah's spirit. You got a spirit of your own, but it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, the interwoven Christ. So then, is the spirit of Elijah in the world today? What is the spirit of Elijah? Translation. It's the translation. Enoch was translated. Elijah translated. The world, the people of the world today that's in the church, the true people, translated. It has to be the same identical spirit that's in the world today. That's why that Elijah can come back into the world, is because that spirit has come back on the scene. Now, it is a true fact that it is the spirit of Christ, and it's only called the spirit of Elijah when God designates a move as Elijah, or as that one that is to be in the spirit of Elijah. So then, when you say the spirit of Elijah, you're only saying the spirit of Christ. Though he has a spirit individually, which is the spirit of Elijah, but the spirit of Elijah without the spirit of Christ could not work a miracle. It couldn't do anything. It wouldn't do a bit of good for the spirit of Elijah to come back on John or come back in Elijah's body. If his body and spirit came back, if spirit of Christ wasn't in him or upon him, it wouldn't do no good. You say, but Brother Pike, the Spirit of Christ wasn't in them back there. The Bible said it was. Said it was the Spirit of Christ in them signifying such and such. That's what Peter taught. And it was the Holy Ghost that was with them back there, which was the Spirit of Christ. Is that right? So then the only difference is we have the gift of the Spirit of Christ. We have the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is the gift of eternal life. And they did not have the gift of eternal life. So then he comes back and dies. Whereas we were translated. Then what does he do? He has to turn right around and come back by the way of the grave. He said, how can that be? Revelation 19, following. Is that right? Say, how's that? Because after 3 days they were resurrected, taken up into heaven, they return on the white horses. That's the way they have to come back. All right. So then they go by the way of the grave. Now, not that they buried them, for the Bible said that their bodies wasn't even put in the grave. They never did put their bodies in the grave, so they couldn't go by the way of the grave as far as covering them up. But this world to heaven is a grave. Jesus said you're dead while you live when you're in this world down here and you're cut off from God. This is a graveyard down here. Dead people live down here. And we're going about resurrecting those dead people by giving them the Spirit of Christ. All in Adam, all die. All of them are dead. I saw a vision while I was passing over a graveyard. And I was calling people out of the grave and resurrecting people out of the grave. Because that's what it's for. I saw a vision the other night where I went up. I dropped down a rope a long ways, down a rope like this over a high wall. In the vision, took a chance of my life and dropped down to a pit. And then screamed out, I've done it, I've done it. I've overcome, I've overcome, I've overcome it. God made it work, which showed another victory over death and over the grave and coming over the walls of opposition. Now, I wonder if this is clear. Is it clear? If this is not clear, would you raise your hand, please? I didn't mean to get to preaching and hollering at you. But it's hard to keep some of them's attention. If you just talk to them, they look around. I was thinking a while ago, if I was some people, if I didn't have more interest in church than they've got, walk around with the baby the whole time I'm here, and a man will walk around with the baby for the wife so that she can pay attention and she don't pay no attention. She'd be better off if she'd walk around with the baby, if he'd pay attention. But I see the mothers and daddies doing that, and some of them paying no attention. Some of them don't even have babies paying no attention. But for those that do pay attention, you'll be glad that you did pay attention, folks. Because you're going to need everything that Brother Pike is telling you, and you're going to need it pretty soon. All right, we don't have time to get into any other questions. I felt sure that God would have us elaborate a little bit on this. And in doing it, that we wouldn't have time to really get into nothing else. So we got another question up here. We won't be able to get into it. But if this isn't clear, now, I read the whole book of Malachi. I referred back to Malachi 3, and I explained it. Jesus, the messenger of the covenant, and John, the messenger before my face. And Malachi 4, Elijah, whereas John only came in the spirit of Elias. But the great and notable day when the day shall utterly burn them up. Utterly burn them up. He's speaking of the latter times, brothers and sisters. He's speaking of the tribulation period. For the Bible said, we shall tread the ashes of the wicked under our feet, and the sun will be so hot in that time, it will literally scorch the earth. Scorch the earth. If people have died in this little bit of heat that we've had recently, think what it'll do. How many people will die? How the wicked will just drop out like flies when the sun scorches the earth. And scientists is expecting that in 82. That means it ain't far away. If it ain't far away, that means Elijah must not be far away. But I want you to understand, he will be Elijah. He won't be the spirit of Elijah. It'll be Elijah. Now, I know where some of your minds go. I know some of the things you think, and I know some of the things that you say. What about such and such and such? That's between you and between them and what they teach and what you believe and what they believe. That's their business. That's you. I got nothing to say about that. I'm telling you what the Bible says. I'll have to give an account to God for what I tell you and what the Bible says. They'll have to give an account for what they say. It's like I told somebody the other day. I don't want my people to ever get to the place to where they can't receive from the ministry and receive from the Bible and receive from the Holy Spirit. And I say this and I say it reverently. When you say, well, I can't say it, unless Brother Pike said it, I can't get it, unless Brother Pike got it, that's wrong. It's an evil spirit telling you that. And if anybody else tells you that, that's an evil spirit that's trying to get you under bondage. And that's a lying spirit. And don't you believe it. And when somebody tells you, like they said about Brother Branham, Brother Branham had to get that before anybody could get it. That was a lying spirit. You say, but Brother Branham was a prophet. It don't make any difference. The Bible said in divers manners at sundry times, God spoke unto us by the prophets, but hath in this latter time spoken unto us by his Son Jesus. That's Christ within you, the hope of glory. He shall guide you into all truth and righteousness. It is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. God himself speaking to you. For they shall all be taught of God, which means Christ within you teaching you. That doesn't do away with the ministry. There's a fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers in the New Testament. But it don't mean that everything's got to be spoke to them. The word of the Lord comes into the prophets. That's true. He said, what does that mean? Just like the ministry. He set the minister there for the perfecting of the saint. The prophets will get things that they'll understand and give to you if you'll listen. Things that you will never get. You could get it, but you will never get it. It's a prophetical office he's put there to teach you and to strengthen you and to help you. But that don't mean that you can't get things from God. And it don't mean that you got to wait till a prophet gets something to give it to you. But it does mean that if you'll believe in the prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, if they're truly God men, that they can edify you and build you up and add to your treasure chest and perfect you in God. And I definitely do not believe that you can leave off the fivefold ministry and go out here and have the Holy Ghost teach you and lead you into heaven. I don't believe that. That's not Bible. If you was where a minister couldn't get to you, the Lord could do anything he wanted to. And brothers and sisters, God set a ministry for the perfecting of the saints. And if he set it there for the perfecting of the saints, he said, what I say to one, I say to all, every nationality, creed, everybody. That means he said that to you and to me. He set them there to perfect us. I believe in them. I've listened to them. And I also listen to the Holy Spirit in that I'm in the ministry. The word of the Lord comes unto me and I appreciate it. He unveils it to me. When he says the word of the Lord comes unto the prophets, it don't mean just the word of the Lord comes speaking to them like it did in the olden times. But it means that the revelated word, the spirit of revelation comes to them. Why, anybody can go to college and have this word here. Study it day and night. But he's talking about the spirit comes to them and talks to them. The spiritual word, God the word, Christ the word. They communicate with the word, God. All right, let's stand together. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. I hope I've said something that can help you, that can encourage you. If you don't believe what I'm saying, well, I love you anyway. That's your business. You've got to answer to God. And whatever you want to say about me, that's your business too. You still got to answer to God. Whatever you think about me, you still got to answer to God. That's your business. What I think about you, what I say about you, what I do about you, whatever I say to you, that's my business, and I've got to answer to God. Whether it's right, whether it's wrong, I've got to answer to God, and he'll reward me accordingly. But I tell you, brethren, from the bottom of my heart, what I have told you is from the Word of God. It's not my ideas and opinions. It's what God's Word tells about it, and it'll stand when the world's on fire. If you can find anything better than what I've told you tonight that comes from God, then you can take it. But I'll tell you, you're not going to find anything better. You're not going to find anything different. Paul said, if another gospel is brought to you, though it be an angel, let the man that brought it be a curse. Even if it's another gospel, he said. For there's only one true God-given gospel, and that's God's eternal word that we've shared with you tonight. And I've told you from the bottom of my heart what it is. Okay, let's love one another and let's sing a little chorus together. Many people say things that throw people off. Brother Branham's followers said a lot of things that Brother Branham didn't say. And it got his followers all mixed up. A lot of Brother Robert's followers say things that he didn't say. Got them all mixed up. What you want to do is find out for sure whether or not Brother Pike said it, whether or not Brother Branham said it. Find out. Don't take nobody's word for it. Find out if he said it. That's the main thing. When it's something that's so serious it could affect your life and other people's lives, you need to find out whether or not he said it. Because if a man of God said something, he'll tell you. Like I told somebody the other day, I was talking to him, and some of the brethren, some of you wasn't present, but I made a statement. I said, don't be saying things. You know, I preached a message on the word the other night, how powerful the word is. When you say words, you speak things and you say words, you ought to be careful what you say. And I showed how powerful they are the other night, how you have to answer for all of them. And when you say words, be careful. You might get in a temple. You might get in a rage. You might get beside yourself and say something about somebody. Next day, you might be sorry. You might wish you hadn't even said it. But that person might have got to them by that time, and they might be in a rage and come and kill you for it when you really didn't mean it. See, and when you're going to say something, be sure you've thought it over. You've got it clear that you're settled, that you're not upset, you're in the right spirit, that you've done got that thing all clear in your mind. And then when you say it like you mean it, and mean it when you say it, and then stand behind it with your life. But be careful what you say. You used to have a song, Little Hands, Be Careful What You Let Me Do. Anything for Jesus, only let me do. Let's sing this chorus, can we? I hope that this was clear. If it's not clear, I didn't go into it to the thing extensively, because we've got so many tapes here that's got portions and parts, or bits and pieces, as I say, on those tapes concerning the two prophets and Elijah and such things. So I didn't go into it extensively. I don't have any reason to lie to you or to try to do something to get your attention, to make you myself to appear something to you that I'm not. I'm not interested in that kind of thing. First of all, I didn't come to get a following. God didn't say go into all the world and see if you can get a bigger following than somebody else, or even to get a following. Paul didn't come seeking a following. Jesus said go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If you want to be a following of mine as I follow Christ, I welcome you to do that. I love you. If you want to be my children, them that I've begotten in the Lord, Paul said, that's wonderful. But we came to preach the gospel. Now, I want to tell you the truth. I'm not trying to build myself a reputation. Jesus sought to make of himself no reputation. He had a reputation before he ever come to this world. He was God. But I'm not trying to make myself some great somebody or something. Jesus said one time, who do men say that I am? They said all kind of things. They say all kind of things about you. They say all kind of things about me. They said, well, Brother Pike, who are you? I'm a son of God. What could be greater? I'm a son of God. They say, who are you, Jesus? He was the son of God. Could there be anything greater than that? I'm a son of God. There couldn't be nothing no greater than that. See, to be a son of God, that makes the Heavenly Father, that is God the Great Spirit, my Father. God is my Father. Could there be anything better than being the son in a royal family? And that is the greatest royal family. One that's eternal, that'll never be extinct, or never pass away, or never have an end. Rich beyond the wildest imagination. A prince. Jesus was a prince. You say, what do you mean a prince? The Bible said he was the Prince of Peace. When you're a son of God, you're a prince. When you're a daughter of the Lord, you're princes. Could there be anything greater? So that I'm not trying to make myself anything or prove that I'm anything. I am what I am by the grace of God. And Paul said, lest any man should think more highly of me than what he sees me to be. Then I refrain from saying anything other than just what the Lord tells me to the best of my ability. I don't try to play games with you like a lot of evangelists to make myself look like something special to you. But I tell you the truth, what comes from my lips, I try to tell you as the anointing comes, as it speaks. I try to pray for you and work with you. I appreciate all the good things Brother Taylor says, but when he gets through, I'm nothing more than a man. After all is said and done, I'm just a man, just like you a man. They can say everything they want to about you, but you're just a woman. You're just a man. They'll put you in a box, throw dirt over you. That body of yours will rot unless you make that change. But now when we think about Christ within you and we glorify God within you, and the Bible said that he glorified God within me and they esteemed him very highly for his work's sake. And Paul said, you received me as the Lord himself and would have plucked out your eyes for me. Where is that love, he said. And Jesus said, he's more than a prophet. He's my messenger. I send before my face, confirming Malachi 3. Moses, my prophet. No other man like him in the land. God said that. I said, wasn't you afraid to speak against him? Seeing he's the minister of God, set there to execute judgment upon him and do evil. He's for your good. But he has the power to remit sin, to retain sin. He has the power to curse or to bless. Will you not be afraid for conscience' sake? All of these things, Paul said, I've not used. I'm not trying to use those things. I just tried to be a brother. A lawman, he might be a sheriff. He might be a deputy. He might be a policeman. But there's no need of him going around being a bully. Saying, I'm a lawman. I'll beat you over the head with a stick. I'll throw you in jail. I can do this. I can do that. No need of him doing that. Ain't no need of him doing that. Anybody with good common sense, take one look at him, they know better than to play around with him. He's the law. He's got a job to do. Just respect him, go on your way. That's the way it is with the ministry. Just respect him, go on your way. If he's a man of God, he ain't going to go around boasting about what he can do. Usually if he does that, he probably couldn't do it anyway because he probably ain't a minister. If he boasts, he'll boast in God if he's a minister. We want to help you and we want to bless you. I don't want to see you get in jail. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way, lest at any time he should deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the jailer, and the jailer cast thee into prison, and you should not come out till you pay the uttermost farthing. So now I don't want to see you get in jail, to sickness, to a mental condition, to sorrow, to demons driving you wild. I don't want to see you get in prison, to sorrow and heartaches and can't sleep and rest at night. I don't want to see you get in prison to poverty and all of those kind of things and have to serve a sentence year after year and day after day to fear dying of cancer or whatever. I don't want to see you get in that just because you're stubborn and won't listen. But I say this, a lot of people are on probation now. Some's come before the judge more than one time. You know, the judge has got about three avenues that he can take. He's got the law book. He didn't write the laws. The laws are set out there before him. And he's got about three avenues he can take when you come before him. There's three different avenues that he can take over that one law. I've heard him explain it. And that's why they let you off about three times. The third time you come up there, they don't have no choice. They got to follow the law. Say, he's hard. He ought to let me off one more time. You don't have no choice. He's got a job to do. Usually a judge will let you off those two times because he can. Some of you are on probation. You done been before the judge more than one time. You need to watch out, folks. The great judge of all the earth. Say, who is the judge of all the earth? Abraham said to the Lord, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Who is the judge of all the earth? Know ye not that the saints shall judge the earth? Ye are the judge of all the earth. Ye judge all things. He that is spiritual judges all things. We use righteous judgment. But We can't be judged of any man. Our judgment is already passed. We're resurrected into new life. Nobody can lay anything to our charge, but we can judge you. So then let's use righteous judgment. Let's love the Lord. Let's not pounce on people out of temper and out of fit, and because we get cross and upset and don't like them, say, Lord, you want us to call fire down on them? That's what the two disciples said. They said, you don't know what kind of spirit you are. All right, let's sing this song, can we? I need thee, Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. I need thee now, sweet Jesus. Oh, how I need thee. How many of you understand the difference now between John the Baptist and Elijah and what Jesus was saying? Don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. For he has come back to your heart once again. So let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. Oh, list to the Savior and hear his sweet voice. Don't turn him away. I want you to slip your hands up with me for just a few minutes. I thank the Lord that you're here, that you love Jesus, that you're willing to listen, that you're growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord to the fullness of the stature. I praise God for our visitors who care enough to come and visit with us, show the love of God and brotherhood. And I thank the Lord for hearing our prayers. The other night when the heat wave was here and they said they couldn't see no end of it, our beloved brothers and sisters lifted up the voice to God. We stood and declared it will break. And so it broke. We asked the Lord for rain and so it came. And they say it's just normal July weather now. Whereas I don't mean to holler at you when I'm preaching to you. I'm not hollering because I'm upset with you, because I'm trying to be arrogant or hurt you. I'm just preaching, that's all. The Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people of their sins. Like Brother Branham said, you got to nail the board on so the wind don't get it. If you don't really nail it on and say it like you mean it, the wind will get it, tear it off. Then you'll find yourself in a bad circumstance. So you don't want to do that. So when I tell you these things, I tell you, beloved brother, sister, because I do love you, I care for you, and I want to help you all that I can. I want to help you. So I ask you tonight, give your heart to Jesus. If you haven't given your heart to Jesus, give your heart to Jesus. Love the Lord. Love little Bethlehem. Love the brothers and sisters. You know, the Bible said we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Somebody said, Brother Pike, do you think I'm going to make it into the kingdom of God? Well, you know, why do you ask me that? The Bible teaches that you're the one that's supposed to know. You said, but I'm not sure, Brother Pike. Well, then there's something wrong. See, the Bible said we know. We know. You say, but do you think I'll make it into the kingdom of God? It's not a matter, brother, sister, of us making into the kingdom of God. The Bible said, for God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. We're already in the kingdom of God. For the Bible said, we're not of this world. God has chosen us out of this world. And we are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the millennium, all the restoring, all the restitution of all things. God hath already translated us in our spirit into the marvelous spirit or kingdom of God. It's not a matter of whether you're going to heaven or not. We're not here waiting to see if we're good enough to go to heaven or if we're going to make it. We already made it. What we're doing, we're here waiting for the change of our body to wit the redemption of our body so we can enjoy that wonderful treasure that we've already got on the inside, brother and sister. So let's love one another and let's enjoy heaven while we're here. And let's tell others they're not far from the kingdom of heaven, for the kingdom of heaven is within you. Let's enjoy it. Let's press our way into the kingdom of heaven. That is to you that have never come into the kingdom of heaven. For thou art not far from the kingdom of God, Jesus said when the man answered discreetly. For the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God has been in the earth, has been preached. Men press their way into it. You're translated into it by faith. So then I ask you to let God lead you and translate you into the marvelous kingdom of his dear son. Slip your hands up one more time and worship God. As our brother Taylor comes to dismiss us tonight, worship the Lord. Brother Taylor.